Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Paranormal Saloon. I'm your host, Jay Hill. How are you all doing this evening? Hopefully good. So tonight I have a fantastic guest. He's actually a really good friend of mine. His name's Nathaniel Ewell. And yeah, you know, I've had him on my other podcast before, and he's always a good conversation piece. So without further ado, let's get him on here. Hey, brother.
Jay, how you doing, man? It's great to be back on. I know last time we spoke, it was Studio 6 way back in the day, man. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it was me and Shane Feek.
Yeah.
Yep. My host, Shane Feek. Yeah. So, I've been trying to, moving things around and trying to get, some of my new podcast shows updated and this and that. And so I decided to throw this together a week or so ago. And I knew that I had to have you back on because, we've always had a good rapport. So I'd love to hear what you got going on. So what do you have going on as of late?
Oh man, I've got a lot going on. I'm still doing my TikTok thing. Even though the TikTok ban thing happened for a whole 12 hours, and people were freaking out, but I tried to do a video on my TikTok to tell people beforehand, instead of stressing out about TikTok disappearing, find different platforms, find a way to adapt and improvise, because we don't know if that platform is going to be here forever, but you might have 5.6 million followers on there, and you may have 2,000 followers on YouTube. You know what? Instead of using that platform to push yourself on TikTok, knowing it's not going to be there forever, use that platform to push your YouTube. You can still get your content out there. It's just the basis of how you push it.
Right. Correct. Yeah. I mean, I have my YouTube page has been kind of stagnant for a few years now. My studio 6 Media Productions, and I've got all my shows under there and some other things, I think I was at 217 or something like that last time I checked. And then I had a couple shows from the saloon, and I gained a dozen followers within a matter of days. I was like, well, okay, so I got as little as it is, but I got to be doing something right.
You know what? People think that you have to have a mass growth, right? It's not. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a gradual growth, especially if you're starting something new. This Paranormal Saloon is a new podcast, right?
Right.
So it's not like, I don't think you expected it out of the gate to gain 100K followers. I mean, I feel you think in the same way that I do, that the gradual growth is better than no growth at all.
Right. No, you're correct. I mean, I think that it takes time to organize things and get things in the content out there that you want to get out there so that people can try to connect to it. That's why I like to have a different collective of guests on my show, not just one track, thought process. I kind of like to, expand it out. And
if you're interested, Jay, I've got several people that I know that I think would be great guests for the show. I could definitely point them in your direction, or I could point you in their direction. I don't mind helping build the brand, brother.
No, I appreciate that. No. I'm always, open for new guests and making new relationships with people and meeting new people. And I've met some great people in the last year, that have become good friends, so this isn't new to me per se, but with the whole restream being able to broadcast on TikTok, that's kind of huge. I have increased some followers on that,
I would love to figure out how that whole process works. If you could walk me through that maybe sometime within the next few weeks or whatever. Anytime I have a podcast, if I decide to use, if they decide to use this platform, I can connect it to my TikTok, which I actually tried to do before we actually started talking earlier. Right. And for some reason, it wouldn't let me connect to the TikTok. I don't know why, but it is what it is.
Right. I use Restream, and I liked it better than StreamYard. I like the layout is better. The colors are better. I used the darker theme just because of the fact that I don't want that white background, glaring in my face, so to speak. But
Oh, like this will glare if I take my hat off?
Yeah, right. So yeah, but so how has TikTok been? I mean, you've been kind of, you know, killing it.
You know, TikTok is going well. I'm going to be putting on a merch line soon, which I'll make sure that you get a coffee cup and a t-shirt on me.
All right.
I have to get your address. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
But TikTok is going well, man. Still doing my breakdown thing. As a matter of fact, I've got a new piece that I got from my girlfriend that,
oh, wow.
So I'm going to, I've started to, in a way, try to change my style because I feel like doing the screenshots and stuff. Yeah, that's all great to get the information out there, right? But sometimes people may not see what I'm talking about through a still frame. They might need to see the actual video clip, or they may need to see a recreation, which, you know, I've done recreations in the past. But this is going to add a whole new dynamic to my recreations, because not only do I have this now where I could recreate what they call white crawlers or the rake videos, I'm ordering a green screen suit so I can demonstrate live how objects can be, I guess, levitated without manipulation using the proper chroma key set on a film editor.
Right. Yeah, there's so many different videos out there that you kind of wonder how they do that, or how did that, you know. And I would have to say, unlike the one video that you were talking about with the rake.
Yep.
What is that? Yeah. So it's hard to kind of wrap your head around it. You know, people like a lot of things on TikTok and even YouTube and, you know, all that. Before TikTok even came, you know, YouTube was it.
Yes.
You know, and people would watch these videos religiously and think, oh my gosh, you know, it's all great. Take it with a grain of salt because it's entertainment. You know, I'm just kind of like, if you actually put some of that stuff out there that was really legit, and I'm not saying that that all of it isn't legit, it's just the fact that what you do is you kind of go in there and you look at the video and say, okay, let's look at the truth behind it, or the possibility that this can actually be real, or if it's not real. So that's why your TikTok is doing so well, because of the fact that you have that ability to discern what's fake and what's not fake. I mean, yeah, it's still your opinion, but unless you can prove it, you know what I mean? Without a shadow of a doubt, but it gives people their opportunity to make up their own mind. You know what I mean?
Right. It gives people the opportunity to take the video, you know, at face value, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then look at the things that I point out, and then maybe make their own opinion as to whether or not I'm correct or if I'm not. Because I'm not going to lie to you, there's so many people on TikTok that think I'm a firm skeptic, when in the opposite, I'm a firm believer.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that there are people out there who use the platform specifically to make money. They make these fake videos, and then they try to pass them off as real. And some of these people out there that are doing this have, like, you know, 4 or 5 million followers. And it's crazy to me that people will sit there and watch this and they don't take the time to try and look at it with a grain of salt. And what people don't realize is, you know, my little 1 to 2, sometimes it's longer. I think the longest video I've done is 7 minutes. I try not to do it that long because no one wants to look at this ugly face for 7 minutes.
But I'll give yourself a little credit. Come on.
But I try my best to keep my videos, you know, down to 3 minutes. That's like the max I like to go. But with my new setup, it's going to be a little bit different. They are going to be a little bit longer, but there's nothing I can do about that because I'm going to be showing live video clips to show them exactly what I'm seeing. Because typically a TikTok video for 3 minutes will take me about 4 weeks to prepare and put together. Because I sit there, I download the video, and I watch every single video frame by frame. So I can look for the little glitches. I can look for screen cuts. I can look for where the film might jump up really quickly. But if you were watching it in live time, you may not have noticed it if it was a 0.2 second video jump.
Right.
And that's why I think that the work that I do, as far as what I do on TikTok, is essential to the paranormal, because you need to be able to keep that skeptical mindset and realize that you cannot take every single video at face value as much as you want to.
Right. A lot of people don't take enough time to, you know, go through some of that stuff, and they're just, you know, if they're investigating or if they're looking back at the footage or whatever, it's just, you know, there's certain things that you, that as an investigator, even as a researcher, that you need to pay attention to. And same thing with, you know, editing. You really need to look at, you know, that's if people have like already edited their videos and this and that, so they can see one of your videos, they can pretty much know what they're looking at.
Right. And let me tell you, and there's an account on TikTok called Smug Puppy, which people love. Yeah. Yeah, they've blocked me. I did four of their videos, and I got a very nasty response to them from them by one of my videos. And yeah, you know what? I got no respect for those people. But they have like, I think, 3.6 million followers, and they do nothing but create fake stuff. It just doesn't make sense to me. But it does make sense in a way, because people don't want the truth. They want to be entertained.
Gotcha. That's the biggest thing for people to not adhere to, is the fact that even though it may be blatantly fake, it's entertainment. That's what they're drawn to, you know? And I guess when did it become where we need to be more entertained than we are, I don't know, using common sense.
Right. And I'm not sure how comfortable you are with me calling out certain shows or whatever on the show. So I'm going to kind of refrain from my own thoughts. But like when this... you go back to the original Ghost Hunters, right? The OG Ghost Hunters, when it was Jason Hawes, you know, I mean, that show was amazing. The way that they took the time to go through and look at everything that happened from an actual logical lens. But they go back now and you watch the reboot that they did, two or three years ago? Yeah. And it wasn't the same.
Right. No, and I think it was, you know, being the different cast and crew and, you know, different ideas. And, you know, I could see the purpose of it, but you're right. It wasn't the same. And don't get me wrong. I know the cast and crew of that were great. You know, they put their heart and soul into it, you know, and but people are so used to listening or watching, you know, like watching a movie, you know, and then they remake the movie years later. And they say it's still the same kind of cast, but it's different people. It's hard to get attracted to that. It's hard to accept that. You know what I mean?
It is, especially if you're a hardcore fan of the original. Like, for me, it would be Halloween. I love Halloween, the 1978 Halloween, one of my favorite movies of all time. And then you have the Rob Zombie version, and I just thought it was absolute crap. I understand that it was his own revisioning of the movie, but it wasn't good.
Right. Well, look at Friday the 13th.
Oh yeah. That's a good same example thing. Too.
That's the same thing. You know, very I mean, I grew up watching the very first one. Yeah. That was a terrifying movie, but if we look back at it now, it's like, oh my gosh, that was really cheesy. But then it was freaky.
And I've tried my best to explain to people who are, you know, they're fans of Freddy Krueger, which I have nothing against, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street. Johnny Depp got his start on Nightmare on Elm Street and 21 Jump Street. So I have no issue. I have no issue with that movie because Johnny Depp's a great actor. He might not be the best person, but he's good. But when you go back and you look at it, you know, it's like when you look at the original Halloween, it was more theatrics than it was gore. If it wasn't, they didn't need the visual scares. They just needed the music.
Yeah. The music, you know, backing up the gory scene. You know,
it was great. It was very well done.
Dramatic, yeah. If you look into, was it Wes Craven that directed that?
No, John Carpenter.
Oh, Carpenter. Okay. And then when they came up with that one movie where it was kind of like the behind the scenes movie of Nightmare on Elm Street, that was kind of freaky.
I misunderstood. Yes, Wes Craven did Nightmare on Elm Street. You're 100% right.
Okay. So that whole movie was basically what happens. What if something actually happened from making that movie. And that movie was really freaky. I mean, that was just A New Nightmare, I think it was called.
Oh, yep.
Yep. Yep. Wes Craven was a Nightmare on Elm Street. Yep.
So yep. Here's the thing. Like, if you take, say, a Freddy Krueger style character, right? One that could attack you in your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very scary concept, if you think about it. It is. Mm-hmm. And here would be my question on that, because I know multiple people who have saw that movie, and then afterwards, you know, they started having nightmares seeing Freddy, you know, attacking them in their dream, which that's what a horror movie's supposed to do. It's supposed to mess with you psychologically. Mm-hmm. So what is the plausibility of people waking up with said scratch marks after having a dream about Freddy? I mean, would Freddy technically be a thought form? Would he not be like a tulpa?
Right. Well, if you look at it that way, I mean, possibly, but more or less, your brain has a way of, it's kind of like when, if you fall in your dream, or if you, you know, you break something, or, you know, whatever, your body will react to that, whatever, if depending on the intense dream is, you know what I mean? I've had scratches on me that I know that it's not that I live in a haunted house or a haunted location, because I don't, but I've woken up and I have scratches or whatever. If I don't know, remember what I dreamed, but I'm saying that you could possibly do it to yourself inadvertently, not knowingly. You know what I mean? If you're
right.
If you're just in that frame of mind, but
valid,
you know what I mean? So depending if you're living or you're residing in a haunted location. Yeah, anything's possible, I guess. You know, I mean,
I can tell you that I know that the house that I live in definitely has activity. It was built in 1865.
Oh, wow.
And my actual bedroom window over here overlooks the oldest cemetery in the town. The earliest grave that I could find that was legible was 1837.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's crazy.
And everyone that lives in this house has had experiences. We've seen an old woman at the bottom of the staircase. Matter of fact, there was one night I went downstairs and came face to face with her and damn near crapped my pants. I turned the corner and it's like literally right in my face.
Wow.
There for a second and gone.
Right. Yeah. That's crazy. So let me ask you, how long have you lived there?
So this is currently my parents' house. I lived here for 4 years before I met my ex. And then I moved in with her. And then once we separated, I moved back in here. So I've been living here for about a year again now, but in total about 6 years.
Okay. Now, is it something that you basically, have you investigated your own home?
It's a rule of thumb by paranormal investigators that you don't investigate your own house. That should be a simple rule of thumb, because you don't know what you're attracting in whenever you try to make contact with the spiritual realm. You can sit there and say, you know, if there's anyone here, come and contact me. But here's the thing. You can, in fact, investigate your own house if you do it properly. Don't open up to all spirits. Just say,
Right.
To whoever, whatever spirits are residing in this house or on this property.
Right.
Please come forward and make contact. So I got the season 2 of my paranormal app test coming up. So whether or not anyone who else lives here knows it, yes, I will be investigating this house, because I kind of have to do the app tests.
Right. Have you thought about bringing outsiders into your home?
I have not. Because my whole family is on my paranormal investigation team. So my mother, my father, my brother, they're all part of my paranormal team. So they kind of understand what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
Okay. So, I mean, it was just a thought that, you know, it's kind of like having a third party that verifies your background. You know what I mean? So it's like you're having an extra party come in. And
so my girlfriend is actually a psychic medium, and she has been here and she has picked up on things, and it's been scarily accurate.
Okay.
And I'm just going to sit here and tell you that it freaks me out sometimes. And me and her have had this conversation because I'm not a believer in psychics. When she's able to sit there and describe to me physically what I saw without me telling her what I saw, it kind of opens up my mind. It broadens my horizons a little bit because, yes, I'm skeptical against them, but maybe there is something that is beyond my understanding going on with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And she just has that connection. Like, she'll come here sometimes and it just hits her and she'll open up, and it's 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it's good to have, somebody close to you that actually, especially with the work that you guys do, having a medium in the mix, just because it works.
In my 18 years of investigating the paranormal, I have never once used a medium. Right. So going forward, me and her have already discussed this. She's going to become part of my team. And I'm going to try and, I guess you could say, get over my skepticism.
Okay.
And I'm going to give it a shot.
Okay.
Because it doesn't hurt.
Right. No, it doesn't. I mean, having an open mind, especially, dealing with the paranormal and spiritualism and all those things. I mean, it's just, if you don't have an open mind to what's the other side is explaining to you, it's going to be hard to deal with some of the investigations and whatnot and everything to do with the paranormal. And you got to be open minded,
Right. So have you ever had an experience, Jay, with a psychic that you just were like blown away that you could not explain? I know you're the host, but yes, I'm asking you a question this time.
Well, no, I'm actually a psychic medium.
Yeah.
So I've had some crazy things being a psychic medium. I've had other mediums validate some of the things that I've seen.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? That's actually how I found out who one of my guides was. My main guide, another medium, threw out her name, and she says, "You know that name?" And I'm like, "How do I know that name?" And I'm like, "Oh." And she didn't know anything about my grandparents, nothing. She barely knew me. And she came up with my grandmother's name. And that's who it was. And then all of a sudden it made sense. Because the day before, a couple days before, I went to visit my grandmother's grave. She's buried next to my mother and my father and my grandfather. So I was basically just saying hi, and I was like trying to figure out, what I was experiencing with my gifts, and things were happening and this and that. And then that night I went to, we got home, and I later on went to bed. And when I was laying in bed, I don't remember if I was awake or asleep, but there was a lady floating 5 feet off the floor standing in my bedroom. And I knew who it was. It was my grandmother. And I knew who it was. The first words out of my mouth was, "Oh shit." Yeah, seriously. And I don't remember anything after that. And then I was like, okay. And then I kind of knew.
So being psychic, and me and my girlfriend, we've had conversations on it. So are your guides, like, I don't understand how the whole guide things work.
Mm-hmm.
Are they just beings that talk to you as far as like pushing you in the right direction?
No,
I'm just trying to figure out how it works.
Well, we all have to make up our own choices. That's what free will is. Okay. Mm-hmm. Your guides can't tell you what to do. I mean, they can make suggestions, but they're not going to, forcibly say you have to do this, or unless it's a life-saving event that you basically, you know, kind of wrote down before you got here that I need some intervention. You know what I mean? So that's happened before. And it's just, you know, there's so many different variables. You know, like I said, no mediums is the same. Every medium is completely different. They may do similar things, but they're completely different. And mediums know mediums. So if, like, I walk up to a person on the street and I don't know them, it's almost like wearing a golden hat. You know what I mean? And it, like, you could see it and, like, oh, that she's a medium, or he's a medium, or he's gifted. You know what I mean? The severity of the light, like, you know.
It's like the connection. You just know it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Pretty much.
Like I said, it was just something that I wasn't fully under the understanding of. So I was just kind of trying to gather more information, I guess.
Yeah, there's some people that may never know their guides, you know. They may stay in, you know, behind the curtain, so to speak. You know, I mean, they may still give you some guidance or, you know, certain things here and there. But, yeah, it's just until I fully opened up who I was and who I was connecting with. You know, I get my grandmother in my ear all the time, you know. I mean, but that is more or less not so much on a spiritual side. It's more of a, why are you doing that, you know, or,
right,
you know, or my mother would chime in and say, are you really not going to empty the dishwasher, you know, or something like that, just because that's just the way it is. You know what I mean? I would,
right.
You know, so
I can tell you that, my girlfriend tells me all the time, with her having gifts, that I have gifts that I have no idea that I have. And she constantly tells me to stop looking at it from a skeptical standpoint,
mm-hmm,
and just open up and I'll figure out what they are.
Right. Well,
it's just very difficult for me to do that considering the work that I do. You know what I mean?
Right. But because of the fact that, having gifts, we all have gifts, we all have the ability, yep, but it's just a matter of opening that door and walking through it, or peeking in it every once in a while, or, you know, listening in on the other side. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a choice. And once
it is,
once you get into it, you'll know more so.
Yeah, and I know that I have a gift of precognition. Sometimes I'll see things in my dreams before they happen.
Oh, yeah, I get that too. Yeah.
So I know there's some kind of ability there, but I'm at the same point, I'm not willing to put myself out there as a psychic because I'm not a psychic. You know, I'm not a medium.
Okay. No, okay, I get that. But here's the one thing I will tell you. If and when that time comes, get out of your own way. That's all I'm going to say. Get out of your own way. If and when that does come for you and you'll know it, just get out of the way.
Just let it happen.
If and when, you know, I don't make any predictions. I don't see the future, but I'm just saying, if and when that does happen, just get out of your own way, because I didn't adhere to that. and it was more difficult than I wanted it to be, than it had to be.
And I think that's what she's concerned about. She thinks I'm making this more difficult than what it needs to be because I refuse to accept the fact, I guess.
Right, right. Everything is about timing. You know, you got to realize that you know, people who have their gifts or have gifts and they want to open them, or they want you can't force the issue. Your body and your spiritual mind and your spirit has to be ready to do so. Sometimes they're kind of shoved into that, but then they're already a backup plan for you to be ready for it. You know, spiritualism, frequencies, the whole nine yards.
And I can tell you that I ain't got no backup plan. When the stuff happens, it's just going to hit the fan and I'm gonna have to roll with it.
Right, right. Pretty much. But that's your attitude though. That's how you know, with your life's history, you know how to deal with adversity, because I can see it in you that you just deal with it as it comes. It may suck at times, but you push right through it, and nobody sees you. Right. And there's a lot of people that don't see you behind closed doors, where you feel beaten and you feel roughed up and everything, but you still put on that solid face and you come on that camera and you do what you got to do. And that's noble in that sense.
That's the only way I know how to be.
Right, right. Well, I can see that, and I don't have to be psychic to see that.
Well, I appreciate the compliment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, I've always liked your stuff and your content, and, you know, I know that you've been going through some things as of late, and I really, you know, pray for you and continue to wish you the best in the things that you're going through. But it seems to me like some of your things are smoothing out, and I'm happy that they are. You know,
they are, you know, and I don't mind discussing that here on the podcast if you want. There was a point in time, you know, several months ago, probably eight to six months ago, where I went through a few life-changing events and things got very dark for me. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was dealing with mental health issues and among other things, and, you know, had suicidal thoughts and stuff. But luckily I had friends that I could reach out to, and I'm still here. I'm still doing my thing. I'm still pushing forward, mm-hmm. because it's not in me to give up. I can be beaten down all day long, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to give up.
Mm-mm. Nope. No. And I know that I saw that some months ago, and I was, you know, worried about you, thinking about you, and, you know, but I know that you have that support system. When I sent that message to you, that you have a big support system around you. That is key. A lot of people don't realize that having that support system, no matter what you do, no matter if you're working at Burger King or if you're working at McDonald's or, you know, you're a videographer, whatever, as long as you have that support system, especially if you're in the paranormal and you've got that support system, that's great. That's you know, huge.
And it doesn't matter your job. You know, you're right, 100%. Let me tell you, I supervised McDonald's for 14 years before I moved here to New Hampshire and got the job that I have now. Mm-hmm. When I applied for McDonald's up here, they mm-hmm. told me I was overqualified. How in the hell are you overqualified to work at McDonald's?
Right. I don't know, man, but that's a new one on me.
But you know what? In hindsight, something better happened, because now I'm a CNC programmer for a company that builds bridges. I mean, nice. I have a very good job. I love my job, and I can be proud of it, because whenever I see that bridge go together and then it's put in place, you know, that's
part of you.
That's a huge thing of the infrastructure of the U.S. So I can be proud of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of people out in the world today that don't feel that way. You know, they work the 9-to-5, you know, job and sit behind a desk and not do anything. You know,
even if you work that 9-to-5 and say you're sitting behind a desk, right? Or you're sitting back there in the kitchen flinging burgers, or you're a chef at a restaurant. Every person out there, your specific job field, it matters.
Right. It does. It really does. Now, there's somebody said something funny. I got to put this up. When you were talking about being overqualified for McDonald's, this is what somebody said in the chats.
I'm curious.
It's because you knew how to work the ice cream machine.
George DeCosta, my good friend George. So, George, as a matter of fact, I was in charge of cleaning the ice cream machine at McDonald's. So I can tell you right now that anytime the ice cream machine is not working inside Secret, it's one of two things. Either A, it wasn't cleaned properly and it went into something called heat mode, which when it goes into heat mode, it comes out as straight liquid cream. So you can't use the ice cream. Or two, you did not clean it quick enough and it goes into what's called freeze mode. And the freeze mode makes it to where you cannot use the ice cream at all. And then you have that very rare circumstance, which I have seen twice, and it's hilarious, when someone puts the ice cream machine back together wrong and they start it up and the ice cream blows out of the top into their face.
Right. So it's probably one of the three. Okay.
One of the three.
I know that's funny. That's funny.
I love George, though. George DeCosta, he's a great friend of mine. I love George to death. George, thank you for tuning into the show, brother.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got, like I said before, you've got a good fan base. And, you know, I'm really curious to see some of the more of the interesting things that you've got coming up on TikTok. And, some of the other things that you got going on. You know, it's just, we got to support each other, especially on this endeavor and like podcasting and like, you know, the paranormal and
the whole
gamut of everything. You know, I've really kind of removed myself from some of the drama and all that stuff on Facebook, just because I just couldn't take it anymore, you know? And I know that you've got some opinions on that, you know? So let it fly, brother. I want to hear what you got to say.
My opinion on this is, why the hate? Mm-hmm. We are all in this for the same common goal, right? Mm-hmm. To prove that the paranormal exists. Here's the thing. If people are arguing for nonsensical reasons, because realistically, until we can take the paranormal and put it into a scientifically controlled environment, like say we capture a ghost, right? Which God forbid, that's probably never going to happen. And we put it into a scientifically controlled environment where we can run a hypothesis with a test and a control, and you can get repeated results. The paranormal is going to be nothing more than a pseudoscience. It's all it will ever be.
Right.
So why are we fighting against each other? Why can we not just come together in unity to push forward with the brand of research, not the brand of it's about me and my team. Get over yourselves. You're nothing special.
Right. And that's another thing too, is I've noticed that when I first started doing this, you know, like on Facebook and, you know, I had my own team and I had this, and I had lofty dreams because I thought, man, I really want to do this and I want to do that. And then when I realized that I was kind of been in the beginning of it, I was like, why am I here? And I had to really kind of question myself, why am I doing this? And what are the benefits of doing this? Is it for my ego or is it for something more greater than I am? And it took a long time to really kind of wrestle with that, figure out why am I doing this. And it, that kind of goes with anything. Why are you working this job if this job isn't for you, or if you you know, don't like the job or whatever? If you're doing it just to pay your bills and you're sacrificing yourself for what, you know? I really had to just kind of go back and look at the whole thing with the paranormal
if you don't like your job, you will never succeed at your job, because it's going to seem too much like work. If you love your job, you go to work, you have fun, then that's a job that you should be in.
Right. I agree. I mean, you know, love what you do what you love.
Yeah. And you know, in reference to what I said previously, like I don't try to make waves as far as it comes to the paranormal drama. I try to stay out of it. It's got nothing to do with me. I don't care what he said, she said, because you know what? I'm friend with Rob from Get Haunted, and I know that some people don't like Get Haunted, and you know, I don't care.
Right.
I find connections where the connections find me. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing to do with anybody else's personal standpoint. It has to do with if I find a reason that I don't like that person, guess what? I'm going to unfriend them. I'm going to block them. But I'm damn sure not going to blast them on social media, because it's not my place.
Right. You know, I went through something a few years ago, similar. I was friends with somebody and this other person said that they had a falling out. They hate each other. And I said, and they said, one person said, well, I can't be on the show if you're going to be on that show. I'm like, that's fine. But I will not be guilty of association.
No, ever.
It's my choice. If I want to have that person on, or if I'm friends with that person, then that's the way I'm going to do it. Whatever's happening between you and this other person, that's between you and that other person.
It has nothing to do with
me. Right. Yep. So I'm not going to be guilty by association. And I've told everybody knows that.
And I stand strong by that, and I respect you for that, because let me tell you, like, there have been so many people who have approached me about different people that I have friends, and they're like, if you're associating with that person, then I don't want to associate with you. I'm like, okay, then fucking kick rocks. Excuse my language.
Right. Right. No.
Because I'm sorry, that person has never done anything to me. What they did to you is what they did to you.
Right. Right.
Until they do me wrong, I will hold them 100% at their word.
Right. Right. And that's another thing too. I've rarely blocked people. I have a small list, you know. But,
we all do. We all do.
We have a small list, but, you know, I can't sit here and listen to the back and forth all the time because I'm just, that's not, when I first came on Facebook, it was 2009 when Facebook came out.
I don't know when it came out. Actually, it's kind of funny you asked that because my son was asking me a question earlier and he was all like, well, when did Facebook come out? I'm like, buddy, I don't know. Back in my day, it was MySpace.
Yeah. I remember MySpace. I had a page on MySpace. Oh my gosh. But yeah, it was, I think it was 2009. And, I connected basically with high school people, people I went to high school with, you know. And, you know, we would talk about catching up and doing this and that. It wasn't any of this politics. It wasn't any of this infighting. It wasn't any of this. It was people posting pictures about, look what I made for dinner today. Oh, that's great. You know, it was friendly. And then all of a sudden, it was like somebody flicked a switch and all this. Oh, my gosh.
It was literally within like the course of a few days. It went from everything being just wholesome and friendly to animosity.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah. I don't get it, but I did early on. I had political views on things and then I realized that some of these people were bashing me for my views. And one of them was a really good friend of mine. And I found out that, you know, he didn't share the same views. And I said, oh, okay, that's fine, whatever, you know. But he basically was blasting me. And this was back in 2013, 14. And I was like, and so I stopped. After about a year of that, I scrubbed everything political. And then I dove headlong into paranormal, and then I stayed there ever since. See all that political stuff, but I just scroll right on by it.
I hate political stuff. I never get involved in political things. I have had so many people ask me on podcasts in the past, who are you going to vote for when the time comes up? My typical response is that's none of your fucking concern.
Right, right. It's none of your business because I don't even, you know. Because
I hate to tell you, I don't vote. So.
Yeah. No, that's your choice.
I just don't see the point because I'm sorry, I'm not going to vote for the shiniest of two turds. It's not my standpoint.
Well, and that's like I said, that's your choice. That's why we all have free will to do what we want to do, you know?
Yeah. So. I mean, I've got nothing against it. Like, it is what it is. If you want to be political, but be political somewhere outside of my range, please.
Right, right. I have a small circle, and that is not allowed. it's kind of like having, remember when we were kids, and then you'd have like a private group where you had your own treehouse, and or you had, you know, boys only, you know, and you would just have this whole, you know, where you would run around the neighborhood with kids, and
you know what? Instead of doing the treehouse thing, someone should re-implement the yearly, like, you gather your six best friends and you guys go on a camping trip every year.
Right. Kind of like up to, was it without a paddle?
Oh, no. We don't need to do it without a paddle thing because I saw how that ended out. Or dream catcher. We need to kind of go away from that, just right. A wholesome, you know, you get together with your friends because you know what, we're all getting older,
right? Yeah,
you don't know. I remember time.
Yeah, I remember growing up, and I was, you know, 12, 13 years old. I was playing D&D.
I've never played it. I've always been curious.
Oh my gosh, it's hard to describe. I mean, you kind of had to be a kid to be there, but we played a lot of different D&D type games. We were playing James Bond. We were playing futuristic war games and stuff like that. But it was all role play, and it was, and we would get together a couple times a week. You know, when we were on the weekends, you know, after we didn't have school, we would just sit in this our friend's basement, and we would all.
Well, when it comes to D&D, there's nothing saying you can't do that now. I mean, is there anything saying you can't do D&D virtually?
Yeah, there is a game store. It's just a that has board games and, you know, all role playing games and all a bunch of other action figure type stuff. And I drive by the store, and you can look in the door, and you've got a table in the back, and all these kids are playing role playing games at a
That's
round
awesome.
Table. It is. It really is. And I kind of was like, gosh.
Could you I wanted to go in there and show
again?
Them your skills.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's been so long.
You wanted to go in there and flaunt that. You wanted to be like, hey.
Yeah. You know, D&D started in the town that I was born in.
Really?
In the town I live in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Yep. Yep.
Wisconsin. Are you going to be at the Paranormal Rockdown?
No. I wasn't invited. I was not invited. I don't think I've ever been invited to anything in the Broadhead.
Let me see what I can do.
Nah, that's you don't have to. It's
all
right.
But I want to.
Yeah, I just, you
I'm
know,
actually,
I've actually offered to do my show there a couple times, and yeah, it's just I was there once for a Paracon a couple years ago, and it just it was okay. You know, let's put it this way. I don't get invited to a lot of different things.
Well, I'll tell you this. I will be at the Paranormal Rockdown in July.
Yeah.
I would like to see you if that's doable.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see if we can't make that happen.
But I feel like if I'm in Wisconsin, it's going to be a once in a lifetime thing for me. So
right, you're only an hour away from me.
Yeah, so I don't really travel outside of New Hampshire. I've actually every event that I have this year is outside of New Hampshire, which is outside of the norm for me.
Right,
but this one's kind of special because I definitely don't travel that far. But yeah, man, if I'm only an hour away from you, I'll pay for your gas, man. Just
yeah, my cousin lives right by Broadhead. So she actually went to that high school back in the 50s.
Really?
Yeah, my cousin, she's in her 80s, was my dad's niece. Because my dad was the youngest out of 15 kids, 14 kids.
Wow.
And his sister was, I think she was 15 years older than him, I think. My dad was born in 34. My first oldest uncle was born in 1903. So my grandpa was born in 1881. So
that is insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That is insane. But yeah, dude, like I'll be at the Paranormal Rockdown at Broadhead this year in July. I'll fucking pay for your hour drive gas, man. I would love to meet you in person.
Yeah, no, I would think that would be great. That would be fantastic. You know, we'll see if we can't make that happen. Yeah. So what else what other places are you going to?
Man, I'm glad I wrote down a list because I wouldn't remember this. July 12th and 13th, I'll be at the Connecticut Paranormal Convention and True Crime Conference. That's going to be a fun event. It's held by Charles Rosenay and Thomas Patrick Gormley. It's going to be a fun event.
Had them both on the show once. Yep.
Great people. They're amazing people. July 18th and 19th, as I've already said, I'll be at the Paranormal Rockdown, which actually I will be there July 17th through the 20th.
Okay.
I'm actually staying overnight in the location all 4 days. So
nice.
I'm going to sleep on the embalming table that they have. I'm going to sleep pretty much wherever the hell I want because I just want to see what's going to happen. September 6th and 7th, man, I'll be at the Maine Paranormal and Horror Convention as a guest lecturer on Sunday, but I'll be there the whole weekend. And November 15th and 16th, I cannot announce it yet because it has not been formally announced on Facebook by the coordinator, but November 15th and 16th, I'll be down in Salem, Massachusetts. There's also a plausibility that in May on the 17th and 18th, I'll be at Pennhurst Paracon Convention.
Nice.
I'm going to be all over the place this year.
Right. Well, that's cool.
Unfortunately, I had to turn down an event in Tennessee. I got invited to an event in Tennessee, just outside of Gatlinburg, but it was for charity, so I really would have loved to have done it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it was the same weekend as my daughter's graduation, so I'm already flying to Florida.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't mess that up.
Yeah, because trust me, I would never hear the end of it.
No, you would not. No.
But yeah, man, I'm gonna be all over the place. And that's not to mention the after this, I think 20 podcasts I have booked within the next 3 months. So...
Man, busy. Very busy.
It's going to be busy. I got another one on Thursday. I've got three next week. Then I got a 2 week break because I don't have any podcast book after that. And then once March hits, I have, I think it's 2 a week.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be busy.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's difficult keeping track of it all.
Because
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm not used to this. Like I don't do this for fame, you know. I don't do this to get on podcast. Right. I don't do this for money.
Right.
But I love the connections that I make. I love the people that I come in contact with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you grow friendships through it, and that's why I love doing podcast. I love doing this, and you know, I will always be thankful for you having me back on the show. I know it wasn't the same show, but.
No, but it's still, we still get to hang out and shoot the shit, you know, and, you know, I can look forward to, you know, possibly seeing you in July, you know, I mean.
I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So why don't we wrap things up? Why don't you tell people where they could find you and go.
So the main place you can find me is on TikTok at Static Voices, but if TikTok does indeed get shut down in a few months, you can find me on YouTube at Static Voices as well. You can find me on Twitter at Paranormal Nate. You can find me on Instagram at Nathaniel Elwell. You can find me on Facebook at Nathan Elwell. If you go to my Facebook, you're going to find two different profile pictures. Just go for the one of the older picture because I have two and I can't figure out how to disengage the other one. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Nate, I want to say thank you for coming on. This has been great. Just
thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, no, it's my pleasure. Everybody, you can find this episode on YouTube. It will be uploaded as well onto all the normal podcast outlets, iHeartRadio, Spotify, et cetera, et cetera. I want to thank Nate again, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in. So on that note, I will see you on the next episode, which is yet to be announced. So,
well, let me know when it's announced, brother, and I will push it on my TikTok. I'll push it on my socials, man. I'll get you views.
Okay. I appreciate it. All right. Thank you very much.